Let's begin this evening looking at the question that I was just finishing up last week. What is Daniel 9 talking about? And it's talking about the most amazing prophetic chapter in the whole Bible. And the only thing I want to remind you of before we dig into Ezekiel is this, that God wants us to know about the future. Think about it, that it's not Hal Lindsey that thought all this up. It's not John Walvoord of Dallas Seminary that thought all this up. It's not even J.N. Darby of the Plymouth Brethren that thought all this up. God is the one who in the book of Isaiah said, "Test me to know that I am the Lord. Do you know the things that are going to happen in the future? Because only I do, saith the Lord." And so what we see is prophecy was built by God for the purpose of helping us know the future. And so it's not like it's the fringe of Christendom that's into this. God is into it. And he's devoted, as we saw last week, a fourth of his book into things to come. And so real quickly, what we saw in Daniel 9, the most amazing prophetic chapter in the Bible is this. There's so many pieces. Those four verses, 24, 25, and 26, and 27, basically tell us the scope of history, then specifically the 483 years, the church age, we would call it, it's just an interval, and then the last 7 years. The scope is, God says he's determined that there are 490 years of history that revolve around the Jewish people. Remember, in God's map, Jerusalem's in the center, his people. His chosen people of promise. And it surrounds the Jews and Jerusalem. It lasts 483 years. You say, how do you get 483 years? Well, it says, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 7 plus 62 makes 69 weeks. And if you look, 69 times 7 weeks of years. And by the way, if you want to track this down, you'll find that this word that's used here is used in other parts of the Old Testament for kind of like we would use dozens, and it uses sevens. But that's where we come with the 483 years. And the third part is, notice the wording, after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. So we know that's the crucifixion. The crucifixion takes place after this time period. But this time period, if you look here, there are 69 weeks that are talked about that are from the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until actually God's counter ended on Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is a bigger deal. It's the triumphal entry of Christ. You know, some people wonder if it's really on Sunday, but it doesn't matter. What we call Palm Sunday is very big in God's calendar. It's the end of this period of his plans for Israel. And it ended when they, as it were, rejected Jesus as their king. They rejected him. And so following that, the time clock stopped, but Christ was crucified and Jerusalem was destroyed. And there's an indeterminate amount of time. It's called an interval. It's just, God says, 69 weeks, 1 week. And that's what makes 70. But between the end of the 69th right here and the beginning of the final one, the 70th, is an indeterminate amount of time. And you say, well, what's it for? It's what the Bible calls till the fullness of the Gentiles shall come in. And I love it that some Bible teachers say that God has this clock, this counting clock, and it's counting up time and people that are coming, and when the last one that he desires to enter into the church of Christ enters, boom. I mean, you're going to be out. In fact, if you want to, it says hasten the day of the Lord. You want to hasten the day of the Lord, lead people to the Lord, because you hasten when the last one that he has chosen for this time period to be saved is saved, boom. Then he takes his church out, and it starts that 70th week. So we already covered this last week. The last 7 years is in Daniel 9:27, and he, that's the prince that shall come, shall enforce the covenant with the many for 1 week. And see, this whole Daniel 9 thing is built around these heptads, these weeks of years, 7 years. And so he's going to enforce a covenant for 7 years, and in the middle of the 7 years, the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and determination will be poured out in the desolate. I mean, all that is saying is everything that it chronicles, when you look at Revelation 13, and you see this Antichrist coming, and this image he sets up of himself, and the breaking of the covenant, and tricking the Jewish people who were trusting in the false Messiah. And I'm looking forward in a couple of weeks when we get on Sunday morning to the first seal of Revelation 6. The first seal is a white horse. The first event that the Lord unfolds for us is the rise of this man that is the ultimate Superman in every way. Super intellect, super communicator, super mesmerizer of audiences. I mean, Hitler could keep the Munich Stadium absolutely mesmerized with his orations and his everything he did. This fellow will be able to mesmerize not just, Munich or Germany. He will mesmerize the world and will give everybody what they always wanted for a while. So that led us to the second question. Where does this term seven-year tribulation come from? It's right there. It's this idea that God had 483 years, or 69 heptads that ended, and there's this interval, but the last section, the last week, the 70th week, is 7 years long. And this 70th week period is called the tribulation, or the, as it says in chapter 6 on, at the end of 6, the great tribulation. Now, this is something that we're going to cover tonight. There is a prophesied two-chapter event in Ezekiel that describes the Magog invasion of Israel. You notice this and this and this. It's not clear in the Bible when it takes place. And so what we're going to do tonight is just, it's understand what's going to happen, understand the participants, but we don't know if it falls right here before the tribulation. It could actually happen. It isn't clear whether it happens sometime in near the time of Armageddon, anytime during the week, before the week. It's just not clear, and I'll show you why. But what we do know is that there's a rebuilt temple in this time period, because in the center, at the 3.5 year mark, right here, right in the center of the tribulation, the Antichrist defiles, sets up the image of himself, and breaks the covenant and all the things we read about in Revelation. So this is where the seven-year tribulation comes from. It's that 70th week that is culminated by the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Christ. And that launches into the personal direct rule of Christ called the millennium. Okay, now what's interesting, go to Daniel 10. I want to show you something because I wanted to throw this in because someone mentioned it. Probably they were reading Peretti books or something, I don't know. But look in Daniel 10, because where did this idea of spiritual warfare on a global scale come from? And sometimes we in our reading this, we don't really notice some of the things that it's talking about. First of all, in Daniel 10, if you read the whole chapter, you see that Daniel is fasting for 3 weeks. Now, that immediately, when Jesus' disciples confronted a very powerful demon situation, Jesus said to them, "This kind cometh not but by what?" Yeah. "This kind cometh not but by," remember, God always puts this word first, "and fasting." Prayer in God's book is always first. But we will give ourselves to prayer in the ministry of the word. "This kind cometh not but by prayer and by fasting." And so prayer is a reference to our seeking God. Fasting is us denying ourselves, our flesh. You know, the idea of that I am so weak, I need to seek God's strength, and my flesh is so strong, I need to deny it. So first I start seeking the Lord, and then I start, you know, denying the enemy within, the traitor, my flesh. So Daniel is already seeking the Lord, and he goes into this three-week fast, and the Lord dispatches a messenger to him. But for the whole fasting period, the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now, you know what's so interesting? Movie makers read the Bible. I mean, that was a movie a while back, The Prince of Persia. And I thought, do they know what they're talking about? Because there is a demon that is behind this moment, what the Persians are doing in their hatred of Israel. And it is so interesting to think about the dark side. What we, you know, we don't even realize so much of it's not just nation states buying, you know, hypersonic missiles and Israel intercepting them and blowing them up last week. There's so much more going on the spiritual realm. That God, interestingly enough, in this chapter is one of the only places in the Bible, I mean, other than Job 1 and 2 that we've already looked at, pulls back for a moment the curtain because he wants us to know that there is so much going on, that this is why the Bible says God is watching over his word to perform it, because Satan doesn't understand the Bible and doesn't know what God is doing, but he's going to try and stop it at every hand. And so there is this higher level of warfare. And so this prince of the kingdom of Persia, this order of demon creatures, remember Paul describes seven orders of demons, principalities and powers, and, you know, he goes through all these, you know, spiritual wickedness in high places when he's talking about it. And if you add them up with the ones that are in the Old Testament, it appears that there are seven orders of demons that reflect the seven orders, you know, cherubim and seraphim and the archangel, Lucifer that was the anointed cherub. I mean, you know, four right off, top, plus normal angels. So, until Michael, and Michael is the one that seems to always be the defender of God's chosen people who promised the Jews. So Michael comes in this messenger that's on his way to Daniel, is hindered by this being. So Michael comes and assists this angel to get to Daniel. And after that messenger gets to Daniel, this angel, and gives him chapter 11 and 12, he will have to deal with, and here's another one, appears to be one of these hierarchy of demons that is influencing the nation of Greece. So all that to say, in a little while when we're looking at the maps, we think of armies and soldiers and political leaders, and God sees overlaid over all that, Satan is just like in Job. Satan incited the Sabaeans to go and attack Job's flocks. Satan incited, and if you read, Satan can actually incite people groups to terrorize and kill and fight and war. He can drive them, just like the demon of Gadara, the demonized man. So this is very interesting, but I just wanted you to see where that comes from.